Hall of Mirrors by Michael Bailey. "Have you got anything on under that overcoat?" she asked. He shook his head. "Good, take it off and squat over there. Get down on your right knee with your left hand on your left knee and hang your other hand down by your side. Twist your neck to look over your left shoulder." He tilted his head to the side and looked up at her standing behind him. "Now don't move. Stay like that until I say." He nodded. Suddenly, bright lights seared the darkness, pinning him in their glare. 20 pairs of eyes stared at him from all around. He tensed his muscles, then relaxed, breathing slowly, moving his eyes to look from one face to another as far as he could. He was used to this. The lights on him were hot, but he did not sweat. His mouth was dry, but he stayed still, not tempted by the glass of water on the ground near his dangling hand. He was not young nor old, neither fat nor very thin, Mr. Ordinary. He was balding slightly, with 2 days' growth of grey stubble and dark hair on his chest, belly, groin and forearms. His penis and testicles hung exposed between his thighs. Their noises were surprisingly loud, scratching, rubbing, rasping, tapping, the sound of water and glass, metal and wood, heavy breathing, low moans and mutters. Their eyes flicked away, then back again, to stare as intensely as the lights, hard, unblinking stares, probing his body, peeling his skin, raking at his hair. No problem. He was used to it. An hour and a half. He'd done longer than that countless times, staying silent and motionless as they searched for him. He'd been cramped and cold, wet with sweat and rain and worse. This was a cakewalk compared to some stinking ditch or car park. Funny, really. So many hours spent hiding from the searching eyes, and now here he was exposing himself, like he was thumbing his nose at the world. He found that he kept coming back again and again to one pair of eyes that locked onto his own, opened unnaturally wide in an expressionless face. Not somebody to play poker against, he thought. It was hard to look away from them, impossible not to look back as soon as he did. He shivered slightly, despite the lights, as a thin trickle of cold sweat ran down his ribs. Maybe that was because he remembered coming here years ago, when he was young and wild, running with a pack, a gang. That had been a bad night, out of control, but it was so long ago he'd long since put it from his mind. The stare unsettled him somehow, drilling into his skull like a dentist. It was giving him a headache. He blinked and dry swallowed, suppressed a cough and breathed in more deeply, shifting his weight slightly. "Can't you keep still?" a loud, brash voice. Somebody, probably some banker wanker. His neck reddened in anger. He swallowed again, his jaw twitching as he clamped his back teeth together. "Relax. Let your thoughts empty. Concentrate on not moving. Mentally massage your thigh muscle as it aches. Meditate away the pain in your foot. Relax. It usually works. But not tonight. Tonight, in here of all places, his mind is on the tear, racing from shadow to shadow, back into the past, back to that night when he was here before. Now his skin feels chilled and clammy, his cock and balls feel shriveled. Only the hand dangling at his side feels alive, heavy, tingling with energy and menace. He feels the pulse in his wrist, and his fingers twitch as if curling round something long and thin. Face blank, his eyes stare unfocused, back over his shoulder, back into the past. A roar of motors racing, over revving, tyres squealing, then boots smashing on wet concrete, running, running, heavy leather and iron crunching small stones, splashing oily water, slipping, the smell of exhaust and fear, adrenaline, sweat and excitement, beer breath, whiskey and cheap aftershave. Tobacco, petrol and wet hair, wet clothes. He cannot close his eyes. He doesn't need to. He only sees flashes of shapes in the shadows, broken streetlights and bricks in the road, the wet slick of rain on the tarmac road, pools of piss and vomit, sodden trash, tangles of wire. Outside, in the room, his body is still except for the slow breathing. The film in his head is in black and white, flickering image like some old newsreel of a long-forgotten bank holiday down on the coast. He wants to shake his head, but the muscles in his neck keep still, twisted, so he gazes back into the path of those penetrating eyes. They pull at him, devouring him, travelling from his head to his shoulders, chest, waist, cock, and along his legs to his feet. They consume his hunched shape, his tension, the arm hanging loose, the hand closing. He searches for the eyes, those eyes, but they were too strong to keep looking at now. He shifts his gaze away, but is dragged back against his will. The lights seem to have drained from the room, so that all he can see is the outline of heads and shoulders crowding in towards him. The contours weave and shift, dancing around him in the chaotic beat of dry insect rasps and wet amphibian flops. His vision swims and swirls of light like sparks from a firework swim across his eyes. He wonders if he's going to faint, and then everything clears, as if someone has lifted a blanket that was suffocating him. He relaxes. The tension ebbs from his muscles, and he feels back at home in his skin. 10 minutes left, the woman says. The sounds around him quicken, more urgent, frantic. On the home straight now, he tells himself, confident he can pass the test again, last them out, stare them down. That cocky feeling that comes with knowing he's still on top, better than any of them, just like the old days. After all, they never caught him, did they? Never even guessed. How many was it? 7? 8? He's lost count. After the first one, who cares anyway? And the first one was right here, and none of these tossers has any idea, even staring at him for more than an hour. It makes him feel so good, his cock is getting pumped. Thank you, time's up, she says just in time. He casually picks up his overcoat and folds it in front of him as he stands and stretches. He eases his shoulders and looks around the room. It's like being in a hall of mirrors. He can see his body from all angles, crouching as if ready to spring, looking back as if ready to run or to spin around. Some of the pictures distort him, making him unbalanced, awkward, grotesque. They always do. Some make him look fine, like a dancer or an athlete. A couple of them tell the middle-aged truth accurately. One is still turned away. The one in front of those intrusive eyes. As he takes a step towards it, the noise in the room quietens. Now everyone is looking at him as the board turns and the picture comes into view. His shape is there, his crouched body thin, naked, raw. The face looking back is young, savage under long, lank hair. The figure is drawn in stark, crisp outlines, as if lit by a searchlight or a forensic photographer's flash. It is colourless, black and grey, defining skin, muscle and hair. Colourless, except where, in the hand, the silver glint of a cutthroat blade is distorted by a wide smear of fresh, bright blood.